Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your romantasy podcast book club. I'm Christina, joined by my book besties Kim and Anna, and together we're diving into the characters, theories, lore, and magic behind all your favorite fantasy romance books. Hello, listeners. We are here with a very special episode today. We are bringing you an episode from our Patreon Mass Masterclass series where we break down topics and theories and couples and characters and scenes and basically everything from all of Sarah J. Maas's worlds. So all of her series, we break down the stuff you guys want us to talk about as your resident PhDs and all things SJM. And we have had this series going on for quite a while now. It is definitely a fan favorite over on Patreon. But of course, leading up to October, we are focusing heavily on all things ACOTAR. We have so many episodes over there waiting for you, in addition to the entire back catalog of this series available on Patreon. So we wanted to give you a little taste of what we have got going on over there. So you can find the link in the show notes to come join us over on Patreon, or you can go there directly at patreon.com/flightsoffantasypodcast. Also, speaking of ACOTAR 6, we are so excited to say that we will be podcast partners at the Love and Legends Midnight Release Party for ACOTAR 6 in October in Brooklyn. We're so excited to see you guys there and all of the fun stuff planned. You can find tickets at the link in the show notes for that. So, with all that being said, thank you to all our patrons. Thank you to everyone who has liked and reviewed the show. And without further ado, here is your little exclusive look at a Mass Masterclass episode. And this is your spoiler warning for all of the ACOTAR series thus far. Okay, let's go. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back to our Mass Masterclass series. We are so excited to be here today to do a deep dive download on the big bad of ACOTAR, Koshay.
Woohoo.
Oh, guys. Yes. I've had a time and a half putting this outline together. Let me tell you what I've done. Really reined myself in.
Kim is now a Koshay expert.
I love it so much. So yes, this is going to be everything you need to know about Koshay as of where we are right now, obviously. We don't have ACOTAR 6 and 7 yet, and we will get to what we think his role is going to be in those books. But this is like going into ACOTAR 6 and 7, what you need to know. If you're like, I don't even know who that is, don't worry. We do.
We gotcha.
We gotcha. Okay, so let's start out with who is Koshay. Oh, you know, we don't know a lot about him, but
we really don't. But yet I did make a 10-page outline about him.
So, yeah. I mean, we're just that talented. Okay.
Yeah.
We briefly meet him sort of in ACOWAR, but really he was featured heavily in Silver Flames. Mm-hmm. So Koshay is an ancient immortal death god / sorcerer trapped on the continent in a magical lake. He is heavily inspired by the Slavic folklore figure, that's hard to say, Koshay the Deathless, which Anna will be explaining in great detail here very soon. However, in ACOTAR canon, he is a death god. He is the older brother to the Bone Carver and the Weaver, aka Striga. Mm-hmm. He's an ancient being from another world / dimension, bound to a lake by powerful magic, unable to physically leave. However, he still is capable of influencing the world through spells and bargains and whispers and curses.
He can do a lot.
Yeah.
While still being trapped in that lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like for being kidnapped, he's quite productive. You know what I mean?
I picture him like on a giant float, maybe like a swan float. And he's just like, and you get a curse. And you get a curse.
And I'm going to whisper to you. And he's like, oh, wait, I got my swan float needs to turn around. Hold on. I'll be right there.
I want him to be fabulous.
Hold on.
I want him to be fabulous.
Okay.
Like, we've had creepy, two creepies. We've had the Weaver and we've had the Bone Carver, both very creepy. Braxis seems not as scary as Cassian makes her out to be.
Yeah.
And I just want Koshay to be like sassy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Got it.
From what we've gotten on page, I'm not getting sass, but I will go with you. I will go with you.
But if we're doing wish list items, like, sure.
Wish list, sass. Love it. I also love the idea of him, like, he's turned these women into actual swans, and they're floating around him, and he's on a swan float, just like, amidst them. Just like,
give me some grapes. Who has a fan?
Like fan me with your feathers.
Fan me with your feathers.
Peasants.
I can see this.
Yes. Okay. These poor swan girls.
I know. Bless them. Okay. So this is from Silver Flames. Cassian is speaking with Eris and Vasa. Mm-hmm. Vasa says, Koshe is no mere sorcerer. He's confined to the lake only due to an ancient spell, because he was outsmarted once. Everything he does is to free himself. And Cassian asked, why was he imprisoned? And Vasa says, the story is too long to tell.
I hate it. I hate it.
Is it? Is it Vasa?
I feel like we're having story time in this
conversation. A story for now. A story for now, please.
I don't.
Also, is this story too long to tell, i.e. why ACOTAR 7 is going to be 1,000 pages? Like, is that the story that's too long to tell?
Because maybe.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think we could have done some spark notes, Vasa. I think we could have just said, done some highlights.
To make a long story short, one sentence. We could have, but she just says, the story is too long to tell, but know that Briallen and the others sold me to him not through their devices, but his, by words he planted in their courts, whispered on the winds.
Pause here. So this means that Koshe wanted Vasa specifically. Why did he want her? Why did he make this happen? What does she do for him? Like, he manipulated the queens to get him Vasa. Mm-hmm. And she's different than the other birds. She's a firebird. Like, what is it special about Vasa that's special to him and therefore special? What is it about Vasa that he thinks will free him from the lake? It has to be something. We know his whole motivation is getting out of that lake.
Right.
And he manipulated the queens to get him Vasa. So what about her is special?
I know, and I, you know, there's barely anything to speculate on.
I know.
We know that she's sassy. She's a human. Now she's a firebird, but she was a human queen. And she doesn't, like, we know that they can winnow occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then there's fire in her eyes, and that could be from firebird, but what if that's she has magic? We know some humans have magic.
Right.
Like, I feel like maybe there's something else special about her. Also, we don't know her last name. Is that going to be important? I don't know. And we also don't know
a lot of last names.
True.
That's fact, Anna. That's canon. But also hers. I want to add it to the list.
Yeah.
And also, we don't know where she's from. Like, we don't, like, know the area where she
hardly's
from. Well, they're from, aren't they all from the castle?
She's from a different, like, she's, as the sixth queen is from, like, a different land.
Yeah,
like,
they
they're
said
all
they don't
from different
know.
Lands. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Kim. Keep going.
Totally fine. Great point. Why does he want Vasa? What's special about her? Maybe we'll find out in ACOTAR 6 and 7. Okay.
Yeah.
So then she says, I fear what may happen if he ever gets free of the – I feel like this is foreshadowing. If he ever gets free of the lake, if he sees this world on the cusp of disaster and knows he could strike and strike hard and make himself its master as he once tried to do long ago. And Eris says, those are legends that predate our courts.
I'm going to be honest. We're going to do a whole world overlapping masterclass episode at some point. I've been working on it.
Yes.
As a side project.
Yeah.
But when you put this in the outline, Kim, I was like, oh, this gives Erewhon. Like, this gives the Valg. I just don't think that I just don't know that I believe it. But, like, it is giving Master Conqueror, like, Asteri, Valg, something. But, I mean, if they're not Asteri, I think that's pretty canon at this point.
I don't know, though, because on the ACOTAR wiki page says that the Bone Carver and the Weaver and Koshe, like, feed on, like, it used terminology that gave.
Well, the Weaver does make herself youthful.
Right.
From people's human hair.
And the Bone Carver does, based off of, like, stories or truths and stuff.
Truths, yeah.
Like, ingests it.
Ingests it. Yeah, it's interesting. Those are legends that predate our courts. Speaking of things that predate our courts, Anna, let's run through what we know canonically about Koshe.
I'm so glad you said that word because I struggle with that word.
Canonically.
Canonically.
Like, I really struggle with it. Okay, so we know that he came from another world, right? The Bone Carver reveals this when Feyre visits him, and that Strega and Koshe are his brother and sister, as you've already said, Kim, and they have been here before the Cauldron and the Mother, before Prithian had courts, before Prithian is as we see it today, right? Mm-hmm. And they fell, quote, into this world of their own free will with his siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So we know also that the three siblings are immensely powerful by this world's standards, right? And they were taken as, quote, gods by the ancient Fae that lived in this world. And the Bone Carver says that of the three siblings, between the Weaver, the Bone Carver, and Koshe, the Bone Carver admits, I was the weakest. He is the weakest. And he actually chose to be imprisoned. He was like, I'd rather be imprisoned than have to deal with my siblings. So, like, I'm happy in here. Like,
that's terrifying.
Leave.
That's scary.
That's really scary. And it's the same ancient Fae female warrior who tricks his sister, the Weaver, into diminishing her power and then being confined to the middle where the Weaver's cottage is. And then later, she is also the same person who confines Koshe to the lake.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. I thought we didn't know who did it. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah. No, it says on the wiki page that it was the same ancient fae female, which is really interesting.
Yes, in Akawar in chapter 23, it says that Koshetu confined and bound by his little lake on the continent. Now, I'm like reading this and context clues are telling me it's the same female warrior because then he follows up again with clever that fae female warrior. Her bloodline is not long gone. So I took that as like it's the same female warrior and that he just willingly allowed her to trap him in the prison.
Yeah, because he was scared of his brother and sister.
No. Valid. No, I would be too.
Imagine?
I would be too. I didn't realize, I knew that ancient fae warrior trapped him and struck. I didn't realize that was like the origin story of Koshe being trapped as well. So this ancient fae warrior was powerful enough to curse him and trap him there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also,
I mean, that's what I'm insinuating from that paragraph.
Yeah.
Now, something else could come out, you know, I guess there could be room for like we misinterpreted the text, but that's
how I took it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just wild. Like,
yeah.
And he was outsmarted once, is what it says, right? So, like, he was outsmarted by this woman, we're guessing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, in everything, you know what?
What?
I bet that's why he has this affinity for trapping women.
Oh,
females.
He's just a little angry old white
incel.
Boy.
He's an incel.
Yeah. He's an incel.
Oh, like that's
God.
Because that's kind of the whole thing, right? Like, what is it about these girls? Elaine later calls them girls. We'll get to that. But
he does. Yeah.
Elaine calls them like that. He has these girls that he's trapped. And I'm like,
girls,
are you just getting revenge on this female fae warrior who trapped you?
Oh my gosh, guys! Wait,
bitter much?
Like, ugh.
Yeah, really. Move on.
Also, what if Vasa is related to her, and that is what he needs?
Ancient fae female line
is like human maybe line. That's the line, and he thought that she could break it or something. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe she is related to the ancient female warrior.
We've solved it. Bow down.
Wow,
I bet it.
No. I bet that's what it is.
Like, why else would he want her? You know?
Yes. So, because, okay, exact quote. Clever that fae female warrior, her bloodline is now long gone, though Trace still runs through some human line.
Human line.
No one remembers her name. But human. I do. Oh my God. But I do, the bone carver says. And then he continues, she would have been my salvation had I not made my choice long before she walked this earth. I don't know what that means, but salvation is interesting.
Very interesting choice of words there.
I wonder if salvation... No.
Like, could she have destroyed? Maybe
the sibling.
Like, I made my fate. I trapped myself in here too early, and she could have destroyed.
Well, I wonder if he's like, well, I did this out of order. If I knew she was going to trap my brother,
right?
I would have been fine out there. Yeah.
Like, I spoke too soon, and now I'm trapped in here. I didn't know she was going to trap him in the lake and trap my sister in the middle, I would have been free as a bird.
It could have been my salvation from this prison.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
Christina,
I bet that's right.
I love this because what is special about Vasa, going back to our previous conversation?
Yes.
That would make her very special if she is a descendant of the bloodline that trapped Koshe.
That
and
has
that
to be.
That is why he would want her.
Yes.
Because he thinks she could do something to free
him.
Well, like use her blood or magic and with curses and breaking bargains and whatever. So it makes sense if he's like, yeah, I'm keeping her close.
Yeah.
Special firebird.
Yes, exactly.
This is very interesting. Oh, the human line thing really
yes, Christina.
Is making me think this.
The fact that we were like, what is it about her? Like she's a human. Yeah. Yes, she might have magic, but I think her being part of that bloodline makes so much more sense because the curses and breaking the curse and I also have a theory about Lucien that I can't wait to talk about in terms of
fun.
You know, breaking curses.
I mean, you need a curse breaker.
Spell cleaving, one might say.
Some
might call it spell cleaving. Like his papa? I don't know.
Dear old papa. Okay, so wrapping up what we know about Koshe, he is not native to Prithian. He could be connected to other interdimensional beings from other worlds.
Yeah.
Who's to say? He predates the current courts and the political structure that we see currently. So he is very old, just like the bone carver and the weaver, obviously, because they were siblings. So like Kim said, all three of them are siblings. And what we know about them is that they were gods and they were worshipped by the ancient fae who were on Prithian. And they were all trapped, which is very interesting that they were all trapped
in
different parts of the continent.
I hadn't put that together until I did this and I was like, wait, they were all trapped in different areas. That's so interesting.
Three prisons essentially for three gods.
Right.
It feels like we're almost trying to spread them out, like what is too much of their power together? What does that do? It's giving when we separated the feet of the cauldron. You know, it's we're trying to separate them. Right. You know,
this is magical.
Three is 100% a magical number. There's something very And okay, Anna, read this next line about the bone carver.
This is interesting. So when the bone carver is talking about his siblings, he's drawing in the dirt. He's telling the story about how they were all captured, and he's drawing in the dirt. And what he draws is three overlapping, interlocking circles, which is obviously important in the other series, right? The three interlocking circles is a symbol that we see through all of Sarah's series. In Throne of Glass, it's representative of the Eye of Elena, the three-faced goddess. It's specifically referenced with the word keys. In Crescent City, it's the Arkesian amulet. It's described as three interlocking knots.
Yes.
And Danica calls it a hazmat suit against danger.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
It protects Bryce from a lot of different things that happen. And as soon as it gets taken off is when bad things start happening to her.
Yes. Oh, God, right. Oh, yeah. God. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
So
I also think it's so interesting, the idea that the three siblings are imprisoned in three different places, and he's drawing three complete circles in three, like the interlock. But it almost reads to me like those are their cells. They are trapped in these three places. It's like full, complete circles. And as he's talking about his siblings, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's this interesting thing. I mean, also the mass verse theories are just endless with this, of the how the world,
the maid and the crone.
Like, yeah.
There's so many.
Again, the worlds, the three, series, the books. Yeah. It's, you know, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot that you can do with this. It's so hard to know what Sarah is wanting to interconnect. Like, we saw some really beautiful in Crescent City things that happened, but then other things we were like way off base. Like, we were doing too much.
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
But
right.
That's great and wonderful. And yes. That's why we're here. Yeah. So it is really fun. But anyways.
Okay. So let's talk about Coach Shay being bound to this lake a little bit. So he can't leave the lake. Okay. But he can do a lot. Like we've said, he can do a lot from this little lake prison. Okay.
Yep.
So from there, his power can still emanate and affect people outside the lake in so many ways, like ways that normal people can't, even non-imprisoned people can't do this magic.
Right.
Like this is very rare magic. So he can communicate through the wind, specifically on whispers. Whispers. Who else hears whispers on the wind, friends?
Meryl.
Just saying.
Wait, so do we think potentially that the whispers that Meryl is hearing could potentially be Koshe?
I do. I think that she might be hearing, he might be using her.
Right.
She's a descendant of some.
But she is researching the 26 different worlds, right?
And
the Valkyrie.
Yeah. Why would she be researching Valkyries? Why does Koshe want
hearing,
to know about
the Valkyrie? We know she's hearing whispers on the wind.
Yeah.
Like, now I don't know.
She's also like a princess of the wind. Her dad
is
like
saying, is her dad is
the Lord of the Wind or something. Now,
that's what it is.
Yeah, he's like, Lord of the Western
Winds. Western Winds. That's something like
and,
that. Yeah.
And so I think that's a red herring. I think we're supposed to think that she's like Princess of the Wind, and maybe that allows her to hear things on the wind, but I don't think that means that she could not be.
Do you think she doesn't know that she's hearing Koshe? If she, we're speculating this, but if she's hearing Koshe, do you think?
No, I don't think she knows.
Do you think she's evil? Or do you think that she's just like hearing things, and then I wonder if it's going to come up and she's going to be like, wait a second.
No, so yeah, I think that she is not meaning to, but I think she is hearing whispers on the wind.
Yeah.
And I think they are. I think he is using that to use her.
Interesting. I wonder if they'll be able to utilize her, like if they figure that out and they'll be able to be like, what are you hearing?
Yeah. She might be able to puzzle piece some things together with Elaine. Yeah. Okay, but yes, so he can communicate through the wind. We also know that he can make bargains.
Yes.
And we know this because, of all people, Papa Archeron was able to make a bargain with this death god.
Yeah.
For the death god to allow his firebird, his coveted little bird girl, to leave the confines of the lake.
Yeah.
Whatever Papa Archeron bargained with him was that important.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. I don't understand.
I don't understand
what he could possibly offer Koshe to allow him to take the Firebird.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And now he's dead. So I'm like, what did you
But Vasa knows.
And I'm worried about what that bargain entailed. The receiving end of it.
Right.
Unless it's null and void now that he's dead.
Right.
Or does Vasa have to take it on?
Well, Vasa's still able to come and go, though. She's with the exiles, so like it's still in place.
She keeps saying she has to get back, right? But she keeps and she says at some point, right, that she has to get back soon, like her time is running out.
I don't remember that. I do remember Koschei saying, like, he's allowing her to be out right now.
Yeah, and but he's like, why? Oh, well. He says, tell my Vasa I'm waiting.
But like, oh, yeah, he tell says, my tell Vasa her, I'm waiting.
Yeah, he says it at the end of that's right, Akasaka. That's right. But like, why is he allowing her out? This feels very right. like for someone who's supposedly trapped. Yeah. Like, Vasa's supposed to be trapped in the like, she's out and about. She yeah. is she's, leaping and bopping all over the place.
She's made herself a little ragtag group of exiles.
She has. Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like you don't understand what kidnapping someone really means. I feel like you're confused about that. You're loaning her out like a library book, and then I don't understand. Let me understand. Just,
like, inform you on true crime really quickly. Like, so what is it?
But yeah. So when you kidnap somebody, they yeah. aren't allowed to just be out and about. Like, that's how you lose them.
Well, and I so do think it's on purpose.
Like, where does she fly around during the day? Like, does she just – and she becomes a firebird, right?
I don't. I think that only have to happen – that happens at the lake.
But she's a firebird.
I think
fire
she just gets to be a lady.
During the battle.
A lady in the streets and a
firebird. Isn't she – a lady in the streets and a firebird in the sheets. But she's a firebird in Akawar during the battle, right? And that's during the daytime?
Oh, is she?
Oh.
Yeah, she flies in.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, but she's
I always thought she just could shapeshift.
She's a lady. Oh, she's amazing. A shapeshifter. The late, like, she's the a lady whenever Cassian and Eris are talking to her. I'm pretty sure that, yes. or that might be at night.
That's what I was wondering. Now I have to go, now I'm like, what time of day?
I just reread it too, but I.
And I think this has to go back to the fact that Koschei's not doing anything not on purpose. Everything he's doing has a reason, and he is manipulating, I think, everyone involved. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's one person in the book I wouldn't be like, oh, that person couldn't be manipulated by him. Like, yeah. I think there's, like, Spymaster Asriel didn't know about Vasa being the Sixth Queen being there. Mm-hmm. He is letting people know things on his timeline. I think that Vasa being out is on purpose. Yeah, like, but anyways.
Yeah, I just want to, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Yeah. But yes, back to the pointed hands. He can make bargains. We know that because he made one with goddamn Pop Archeron. Okay, now, we also know he can curse people, of course, Vasa. Mm-hmm. We know he can manipulate minds. We also know he can winnow people without actually being with them. So I don't think we should even call this winnowing anymore. It's like he can just think about, like, okay, me being in New York, I could just be like, Anna, I want you to go to Texas. And I could just make you beep up and put you in Kim's house.
Yep.
Like, I'm not there. I'm not carrying you on my back or, like, bridal style. I'm not involved. I'm just thinking about you and making you go somewhere else.
You're right. It's that wild. Is interesting. That's different than winnowing. No, like
it is.
That's a death god power.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's actually, we've only seen it be used in a way of on his benefit. He transported Eris' soldiers or transported Cassian and Bryalin and whatever. We've seen that. But what's stopping him from being like, oh, you know what? I don't want to battle you. Or like, Brisan's doing something good here. I'm just going to pick him up and put him elsewhere.
Yeah. Like, it's terrifying.
That's a power that, like, what would you do? You can't battle against that. Just keep winnowing back?
And, keep in mind, like, this is his power while he's trapped in the lake. If he gets out, terrifying.
Well, like Vasa said, I'm scared. Okay, yes. So let's talk about this curse of Vasa's. So Vasa, as we know, was sold to Koschei by the Mortal Queens, but it was Koschei's doing that this happened. Mm-hmm. And her curse is that she turns into a firebird by day, and she is a human by night. Unfortunate timing.
Yeah.
And it also binds her to Koschei's lake. So we do know she is now out on loan. She is out of her binding. Currently, but that Koschei is waiting. So that will really come into play in the next books.
Yep.
This curse is described as being woven into her blood and incredibly difficult to break. We know this because Helion and Feyre, our spell cleaver and curse breaker, both cannot break it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about his connection to Bryalin.
Yes. So we know that in A Court of Silver Flames, Koschei allies with Queen Bryalin. If we remember from Silver Flames, Bryalin wants revenge on Nesta. Because if we remember, Nesta went into the cauldron before the human queen Bryalin. Nesta pissed the cauldron off. And so to get retribution, or the cauldron was just in a pissy mood, threw Bryalin in. Bryalin became a crone, like a withered old lady. So she's pissed. She's blaming Nesta. Bryalin also wants the Dread Trove. But when I went back and reread parts of Silver Flames, they are theorizing that Koschei was actually the one that steered Bryalin toward the Dread Trove because he wants to use the Dread Trove to free himself from the lake. So again, he's doing that manipulation. He's doing that whispering with Bryalin. So it wasn't actually Bryalin that wanted the Dread Trove the entire time. It was actually Koschei working through her.
Again, he's manipulating everyone. Everything's on purpose.
Exactly. And so Koschei is using Bryalin as a proxy because he can't leave the lake. And so he's like, hey, you really want this dread trove. This is going to help you, you know, get your youth and power back. But really, he's mm-hmm. like, no, I'm actually going to use it to free myself from the lake.
Honestly, I wish that we had thought about this in our Silver Flames coverage when we were like, Bri Allen's motivation doesn't make sense. What do you mean? She just like wants to take the youth back. Oh, like that doesn't make sense.
Right.
It's because Koschei was manipulating her. That, right. This makes, this is but a lot
more literally
when
sense. They say that, it's such a throw, like it's a throwaway comment in like one conversation. Yeah. I feel like Sarah could have made that a little more clear about like, hey, just remember Koschei is whispering and manipulating. Like they do say that Vasa says that, oh, it wasn't the queen's idea, it was Koschei. Right. But like, yeah, we did not keep that top of mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I wonder if that was on purpose to be like, oh, I'm going to make them kind of forget about Koschei so that then they're not like, we didn't defeat the big bad at the end of this book, because we didn't.
We sure did not.
We
no.
sure didn't.
So as we said, the main focus of Koschei's is freedom. He wants out of the lake. The mortal queens mention his whispers. Characters repeatedly discuss him trying to free himself. His alliances all revolve around gaining influence and power outside of his prison. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned, we have never seen Koschei at full strength. Terrifying. All of these insane powers that he has done while imprisoned in the lake.
Fascinating.
That is a
terrifying.
That's an ACOTAR 7 storyline waiting to happen there.
Absolutely, yeah. absolutely. Mm-hmm. So speaking of Koschei's powers, let's just, Christine, if you want to quickly just kind of run through, here's the current canon list of his powers.
Yeah, and we've already talked about these, so I'll do them real quick.
Yeah.
So immortality, Koschei the Deathless, it's important. He's also referred to as a Death Lord. We know he's an immortal sorcerer. I also want to note that in folklore, Koschei hides his soul outside of his body, making him, I mean, nearly impossible to kill. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's Voldemort.
It's Voldemort. It's Horcruxes. Now I'm thinking, when I was researching the folklore story, I'm like, J.K. Rowling totally took inspiration for Deathly Hallows from and the Horcruxes from the folklore story, Koschei the Deathless.
Exactly.
Like, 100%. Yes. She did, because I was reading
Deathless.
It.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He hides his, he hides, like, it's like his it's death slash his soul in different things that you have to, like, go on a adventure to find. And I'm like, wow.
Legitimately
this
the plot.
This is Deathly Hallows. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Also, we know he can curse people. Mm-hmm. We've gone through that. His magic in general, it's very ancient. It's binding. It's difficult to unravel. We know he can whisper on the wind. We know he can manipulate people's minds. We also know that he can create illusions, because in Silver Flames, when Cassian and Azrael are going to rescue Eris at the lake and they're led there by Bri Allen, when they get there, Bri Allen takes her hood off and there's nothing there.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then he is out on the lake with Bri Allen. Like, he has created this whole crone queen Bri Allen front, like, it, out of nothing.
Yeah.
And they followed that. Again, crazy. Terrifying. We have no, like, the limit does not exist to the powers here.
Totally.
Very interesting.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. And I'm so excited for this part.
All right, guys. Let's break down some of this Slavic folklore and the Firebird Ballet connection that Sarah has clearly been pulling from.
Yeah.
So I think it's very clear at this point that Koschei is obviously going to play a big role, the big bad, we think, in the upcoming ACOTAR new releases. And in traditional Slavic folklore, Koschei is an immortal sorcerer associated with curses, dark magic, imprisonment, abducting women. He's often described as skeletal and emaciated. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, though, he is impossible to kill through conventional means because he hides his soul externally. So pin that, okay? Mm-hmm. So this brings us directly to ACOTAR. Now, there is a ballet called the Firebird Ballet, scored by Igor Stravinsky, and it is pulls directly from Slavic folktales, okay? In the ballet, you have Prince Ivan. He enters the realm of the immortal sorcerer. In the Firebird Ballet, he's called Koschei. It's K-A, not K-O. Mm-hmm. So I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Apologies if I'm not. But Prince Ivan enters the realm of Koschei the Deathless, which is exactly what Koschei the Deathless is called. So Prince Ivan captures this magical firebird. She gives him an enchanted feather, and that feather is used as a summoning talisman. So, like, if Prince Ivan at some point they're separated, he can summon the firebird because he has one of her magical feathers. Now, I don't know if that's going to come into play like Jurian and Lucien are going to have a little Maybe. Firebird feather.
A little find my Firebird.
I like it. Exactly. Find my Firebird.
Maybe.
So not only does Prince Ivan discover the Firebird, but he also discovers all these other princesses who have been imprisoned by Cachet. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, he is able to defeat the sorcerer by destroying the magical object that was housing Cachet's soul.
Yes.
Now, how does this tie into ACOTAR? Let's break this down.
Let's do
Obviously, it. Obviously, you have Cachet the Deathless, which is the big bad in the Firebird, also called Cachet and Akasoff. Both imprison maidens. In Akasoff world, they are swan people.
Yep.
And the Firebird Swanaman. Vasa.
Yep, yep.
There is also a magical object containing Cachet's soul in the Firebird ballet. It's an egg. And in Akasoff, there is a reference to an onyx box, which we'll get there in a second. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Firebird musical, Prince Ivan destroys the egg that contains Cachet's soul, which then destroys and he's able to kill Cachet the Deathless. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So keep that in mind. This brings us to the box theory. I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah.
And the made weapons connection that we started to make in our Akasoff revisited episodes.
Right.
So if you remember back in Akawar, Elaine has one of her visions and she says, I saw young hands wither with age. I saw a box of black stone. I saw a feather of fire land on snow and melt it. So at first, this feels very disconnected. We're all like kind of making fun of Elaine for her weird visions. But once you understand the Slavic mythology and what it's pulling from, there seems to be a very specific pattern start to form here. So obviously the young hands withering with age, those are the queens. They come out of the cauldron. The feather of fire is obviously Vasa. Mm-hmm. But the black stone, Elaine later says, there is an onyx box that he possesses, meaning Cachet, more vital than anything, save for them, the girls.
Mm-hmm. Why are they vital? Like, why are the girls vital?
I don't know.
Like, Vasa we have kind of uncovered. But the other girls are also important.
Yeah.
Like, girls aren't – this tells us those other girls are there for a purpose.
Totally. Yes, totally.
So in the original Slavic mythology, Cachet the Deathless cannot be killed traditionally, okay, because his soul is hidden outside of his body. So inside a magical object. And it's always hidden. It's always somewhere impossible to reach.
Mm-hmm.
So if Sarah is following that same framework, then the onyx box that Elaine refers to – probably literally contains Cachet's soul, his immortality.
Yeah, right.
Which then brings us to this Akasoff theory that we had. After Nesta and Cassian fight Lanthus in the prison, Nesta says this, a slice from Ataraxia, which is her made sword that she created, a slice from Ataraxia seemed to bind him into physical form, or struck true only after Lanthus had been forced to give up his mist. So we speculated in our Akasoff revisited episodes that clearly Sarah is establishing that some of these ancient beings may not have a physical form, a stable physical form, mm-hmm. but that made objects like Ataraxia or Truth Teller can force them into one. Because it's after Nesta swipes against Lanthus's mist with Ataraxia, mm-hmm. it immediately binds him.
Yeah.
So let's quickly recap this with bullet points to lead us to how we think this is going to play out in ACOTAR 6. Mm-hmm. Cachet's soul, or his immortality, is likely hidden externally inside of this onyx box that Elaine sees in her vision, meaning he cannot be killed conventionally. But we know from Nesta's encounter with Lanthus and Akasoff that made weapons may be capable of binding immortal beings into vulnerable physical bodies, mm-hmm. allowing them to be destroyed,
mm-hmm.
which means two things. One, we need to access this object, this magical box, and destroy it. And then we have to use a made weapon to then physically bind him and kill him.
I like
those
it.
Those are the two things that have to happen.
I like it.
I have a theory. I'm having a vision. I'm Elaine.
Give it to us.
Go, Elaine. Go.
Elaine. Come on, Elaine.
So the two things that you just said, access the object. Who's the only person who can see that right now? Elaine.
Elaine.
Who also used Truth Teller to stab the king? Elaine. Azriel gave her Truth Teller and she was able to wound the King of Hybern.
She could wield it.
She can wield Truth Teller. So this to me feels like we are setting up for this is going to be Elaine's like journey. Her plot throughout the next book is going to be we have to find this onyx box. It contains Cachet's soul. That's the only way we can kill him. She's either going to go with Azriel. She could also go with Nesta. Yes. She could use Ataraxia or, you know, she could go, Nesta could use it. But I feel like this is going to be like the big overarching adventure here.
And I love the use of Elaine's visions in this because, again, a piece of Elaine that we are so excited to see is this more quiet power and strength that is just as powerful and exciting and worthy as Nesta and as Feyre in battle. Her being able to be like, I'm not a Nesta. I'm not going to like do this. I'm not going to conquer armies, etc. I'm not going to go through the blood rite. Still, I am powerful and I have this magic that is useful and worthy and important. So like that idea of this being how we're using her magic is so cool.
So cool.
I love that tie. Because like even now, all the little visions, I feel like Sarah, I want to have faith that again, all the Easter eggs are there on purpose, but like the feather landing in snow. Are they going to have to go to winter? Is that something we haven't seen yet? Like
Landing I see what you're
in
saying.
Snow. Because we haven't, when would the feather have landed in snow?
Right, you know? Christina. Like,
so is that something that is going to happen? Is she going to be like, well, I did see Vasa as a bird have to go to winter? Things like that are going to be really
interesting. Oh, I could totally see her doing that, Christina. I feel like she's using Elaine's visions already to set up things.
I love that.
I love that.
This does make sense why Koshe wanted the Dread Trove, because there's a made items.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's trying to either collect the made items or use the made items or something.
Nesta has like,
If Sarah decides to have Elaine and Azriel together.
I like it.
She could tie Lucien and Vasa together because he could help free her.
Spellcleaver. Yeah.
Spellcleaver.
Spellcleaver.
And we had talked about
this. The emphasis on cleaver is hilarious.
Spellcleaver.
Cleaver. Why is that funny?
Don't you think that could be true?
Oh, yes.
Like, he's going to find out his Hellion son.
On purpose is a part of the Band of Exiles when, like, we know that's going to be his power, i.e.
Exactly.
What Vasa needs. Also, I've been saying, I feel like there's hints of romance between him and Vasa.
That's what people are picking up on, for sure.
Between Vasa and Jurian. So like, she's finally gonna give us that.
She's gonna give us the throuple, guys.
The threesome we didn't.
I would be into it.
But let's go. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let's move on to kind of. We've touched upon the female imprisonment that Koshe is obsessed with, and also the Swan Maiden connection.
Yeah.
So another recurring element. This is also pulled directly from Slavic folklore. Is the imprisonment of women. Koshe's abducting and controlling women is a huge part of the original mythology. And Sarah is obviously kind of reinforcing that pattern throughout ACOTAR.
Yeah.
Obviously, Vasa is cursed and imprisoned. Koshe references other captive women, and he appears obsessed with controlling feminine power and autonomy.
Yeah.
In ACOWAR, Elaine is just getting more and more useful every time I deep dive into this. She says there is a lake deep in the continent, I think, hidden amongst mountains and ancient forests. He keeps them all at the lake. And then I believe it's either Azriel or Cassian says, other women like her? And Elaine says, yes and no. Their feathers are white as snow. They glide across the water while she, Vasa, rages through the skies above it.
Yeah.
They're swans.
Yeah.
They're swans.
I mean, they got white feathers.
They're gliding across the lake.
They're Odessas. It's a lake full of Odessas.
It's a lake full of Odessas. And this imagery feels very inspired by the swan maiden archetype found throughout Slavic folklore. Magical women bound by enchantment, often trapped or controlled by powerful male sorcerers. So I feel like these other women are going to become more important in future books because we really just focus on Vasa. But there are other women that are trapped there.
And why are they there? Are they?
Yes.
Why are they useful to him? Like, they are vital. Ooh. When discussing those women, they are noted as vital to him. Why?
Vital. He calls them girls. Elaine refers to them as girls, too.
The girls, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what? But, like, we know that he got Vasa there on purpose. Like, who are these girls? Like, why are they helpful to him?
Right.
And, I mean, the fact that they're all trapped on the lake and on top of the water makes me be like, is there some sort of magic or power or something where, like, is the onyx box under the water? Are they, like, guarding it somehow?
Oh, guarding it, yeah.
Or, like, there's something about them not being able to leave the lake and the fact that they're vital that I don't understand yet.
Yeah. I'm so curious to see where this, like you said, with Elaine and the using her visions and stuff, because I feel like if Koshe was smart, he would put the box nowhere near him, right? Because you'd want it away. Well, I guess maybe he'd want to protect it. But then at the same time, I'm like, if it's separated from him, because I think even if you destroy the box, you still have to go kill him. Like, it just releases his soul.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
So right. Yes.
Why Voldemort hid his Horcruxes across the continent.
But then that's a risky little game that you play. Yeah. Like, would you be able to tell that they're gone and destroyed?
Also, know. Like, I don't know. There's this Onyx box. It's going to be very important.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Moving on.
Moving on.
Yes. I think we already kind of talked about Elaine mm-hmm. and why we think that it just makes sense. All of the puzzle pieces are aligning here for her to be very central to this Cochet story. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense narratively. It just all aligns for really beautiful storytelling that we think Sarah will give us. Mm-hmm. And it just feels important that her mate is Lucien, even if she ends up with him or not, but right. that her mate is Lucien mm-hmm. and that he is a spell cleaver.
This,
yeah. What do we need for this? Some spell cleaving. There's a lot of spell work happening here.
Cleaving.
You know?
Right.
And I feel like if Lucien's used for Vasa to cleave her spell or to cleave some spell on the swans or the box or something,
yes.
it just feels like Lucien and the spell cleaving being involved is going to be important.
This is a great force proximity situation for Elaine and Lucien. Because if Elaine has to go on the quest, like they're using her visions, like what do you see now? And she's starting to learn how to harness her visions or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that forces her and Lucien to be together because, although Lucien doesn't yet know that he is the son of Spellcleaver.
Oh, no, that'd have to happen first.
But like that would have to happen first.
Yep, that'd be step one.
He's on his little trek with her and he all of a sudden he realizes.
Yeah, hey, something.
Okay,
but you know what though? If Lucien has to go with her on this trek, so does Azriel.
Because
if
she
needs a made object, it has to be Ataraxia or Truth Teller.
Oh.
Do you think Sarah's going to put the three of them together on a little vacay? Shut up. That would be...
That tension.
That would be so messy, and I feel like she would do it.
Messy. Where is the Suriel? We need the Suriel.
Guys! Like, it just pops out, and it's like, what's happening
I mean,
here?
The Suriel is... Vibes. There wasn't just one Suriel.
True,
Suriel
true.
Not a name. The Suriel... is a species.
True.
A race.
I don't know. I just feel like I agree that it is forced proximity with Lucien once he figures out his connection to Hellion mm-hmm. and he maybe can hone some of his spell cleaving abilities, but she,
mm-hmm. yeah,
they will need a made object. And who has a made object on him at all times? Azriel.
I like this thought, Kim. It's like, how can we make this messier?
Yeah.
Let's do it. We've waited Let's this long. I want to see all the dynamics.
Yeah.
All the
That's
all
like
together.
The end of part one of ACOTAR 6. It's like, and the three of them have
the
to
three
go
of them
off
have
together.
To go off together.
Oh,
shut
no,
up.
What about Gwyn?
I would
okay,
it.
Well, that's this true, is not a Gwyn. Well,
she can, as, we can find something for her to do.
Tag along.
Yeah.
Could she go as well?
Yeah.
She reads the
they
books.
They need a Valkyrie.
Yes.
I like
there
it.
We go.
Yeah.
I love it.
We can tie in Emery. We can tie in more. We can get the whole kit and caboodle to go
yes,
on this trip
the whole
together.
Kit and caboodle.
Run us through the last time that we see Cochet in
absolutely.
Akasov.
Yes. Yeah. So it's when Cassie and Azriel are tricked into following Eris and Brylin to the lake where Cochet is trapped. He says a lot of interesting things here, a lot of which we break down in our Akasov Revisited episode. But he says to Azriel, I spend so many months preparing for you and you don't even wish to speak to me.
That's weird, you guys.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I spend so many months preparing for you, Azriel.
Yeah.
What?
Again,
I
setting him up.
Yep. I think this it's making it very clear that Azriel's also going to be central to this Cochet story.
Yeah.
I think that him and Elaine, if they are together or not, are going to be our two characters mm-hmm. battling Cochet for different reasons. Mm. Elaine with her visions, and there has to be a tie to Azriel's shadows. The amount of times we talk about shadow, it's like the shadows, and his shadows are scared of Cochet's shadows.
Yeah.
And Cochet's made of shadows.
Cochet is described as a shadow atop the lake. Which, again, another reason we made object to bind him, right? Just like Lanthus is missed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see this interaction with his shadows and Azriel. They could make out nothing of him beyond the shadow of his form. Even Azriel's own shadows kept tucked behind his wings. And then Cochet laughs and Azriel stiffens like his shadows had murmured a warning.
Yep.
And his siphons flare and he just yells, run. Again, I think his shadows are talking to him.
Yeah.
And there's pure terror on his brother's face, is what Cassian notes.
That scares me. Because for Azriel to be terrified.
Terrified. Yeah.
What?
What did the shadows tell him
that
made him terrified?
And also, what's more interesting to me is the fact that Azriel's shadows were almost delayed in their response. Because his shadows are always out seeking and feeling things out. Mm. And it's like they didn't warn him until right before it was time to go. Like,
well, there's something
about
they
were,
he was being blocked.
Well, I think it was something about Cochet laughing. Because this is Cochet laughed and Azriel stiffened like his shadows had murmured a warning. Like,
And his shadows are scared. I think they're like hiding behind him.
Yes.
Yeah. And so
interesting.
This is so interesting, you guys. I just
we break I'm, this down in Akasoff too, but
yes, or,
but I think the shadows are very important. I think the shadow language is important. I know we talked about this in Akasoff, but I wouldn't be surprised if shadow was one of the words in the title for Akatar 6 or 7. Yeah. Yep. I don't know which one.
Agreed.
But yeah. I feel like shadow is important, and Asriel, this is going to be our, I think we're going to get Asriel PO. This is going to be like the Asriel book. So like this just all makes sense. Yeah.
100%.
Do you think Akatar 6, 7, and 8 are going to have the same title? It's just going to be like part 1, part 2, part 3.
Oh. Because you know, I have story, not thought right? about that somehow.
Because she was like, it's one story, it's but one it was story. Too many to tell in one book. So I'm like, so is it going to be?
Oh.
Like, if, a, you know?
Right.
The fact that they're releasing separately makes me feel like they're going to have different titles. But that would not work with what she said about them being one cohesive story.
Right, yeah. Right.
And maybe it'll be like Wicked, like how we get Wicked colon for good.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, but I think it's going to be like a lot of words.
Something for book 6, something colon, something else for book 6. You know what I mean? Like, let's say do Shadows. Book 6 is just Shadows.
Yeah.
It's not going to be
a Court of Shadows.
Of course.
Yeah. A Court of Shadows. Book 7 is like a Court of Shadows for good. Book 8 is a Court of Shadows
for worse.
The end.
The end.
The finale. You know what I mean? Like, if she could do something like that, because I agree, if she has them all different titles, how is that any different from A Court of Thorns and Roses, A Court of Mist and Fury, A Court of Wings and, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I think she's got to delineate it somehow.
I do think if we did two words at the beginning, it would be a lot of words. Like, okay, we're doing A Court of Shadows and Fire. That's 6. A Court of Shadows and Fire for good. Part 7. A Court of Shadows and Fire, the end. Part 8. Like, that's a lot of words.
That is a lot of words. But she's doing something very different here to begin with. Like, it's a very risky, not for her, but we don't see this.
Nobody's back there being like, yeah, no, that's too long. She's like, I'm doing what I want.
Yeah.
No, yeah. She's like,
no, you made me, Kingdom of Ash, like, you made me take out chapters.
For no reason.
We're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like she's kind of Taylor Swift of like, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do and you're going to just take it and accept it and be happy with it.
And they will say thank you.
And they will say thank you.
I wonder, what if they change one word? What if it's like, okay, A Court of Shadows and Fire, and then we kind of resolve Vasa, and so the next book, Fire, changes into a different word.
A Court of Shadowy Fire. A Court of Shadowy... Because, right, isn't it A Court of Silver Flames? They don't do the, right, it's like a, right? The
but it's after. Court of Thorns and Roses, A Court of Mist and Fury, A Court of Wings and Ruin. And then, Silver Flames is like its own.
Because it was like an
But offshoot. Then so she could do something else.
Yeah, that's what
I'm Yeah, but I wonder if like, do. if we did the and in between, I wonder if we could just keep changing the second word.
Or changing
one of the words. So it's like tying together.
Yeah.
Continuation. But
shadows
it's not.
And fire. Shadows and like something with vision. Something with like.
Shadows and sight. Shadows and, you know, like something. We're like moving on.
Shadows and darkness.
You know?
Yeah. Shadows and darkness.
But shadows stay the same.
I like that. Because that would be a good way to kind of show that it is one story, but these are just three different pieces.
All right. We'll send it in, Sarah.
Sarah. Call us. We've got lots of ideas.
Call us, BB.
Be on the lookout. We'll text you.
Yeah. Okay. I think that wraps up our Mass Masterclass on Koshay.
This was fun.
This was so fun. I know. I love how we were like, I mean, he's like barely on the page, but.
We're like an hour later, here we are.
But we have a lot to say about him.
Yeah, we do. We do.
And I feel like we even have more to say.
We have so many
theories we didn't touch on here. Leave it to Sarah to plant these little Easter eggs for us to then deep dive and just lose our minds over.
Yeah.
For
it's really fun.
Hours at a time. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
So let us know what you guys thought about this and we'll see you next time. Well, friends, that wraps up another episode of Flights of Fantasy Podcast. Don't forget to join our book club community on Instagram and TikTok at Flights of Fantasy Podcast, where you can share your thoughts, theories, and favorite moments with us and fellow listeners. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us spread the magic of romanticism to even more book lovers. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep reading, and remember, every good story deserves to take flight.